For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Russ McKinney. For the past couple of months, a group of state regulators, utility executives, representatives of the state's fledgling solar energy industry, and environmentalists have been meeting in Columbia, trying to come together on a new plan that could determine the future of residential solar energy use in the state. In 2014, a state law went into effect aimed at jump-starting solar. It authorized a program known as net metering, whereby electric customers installing solar at their homes could sell any excess power they generate back to the power company at a preferential rate, thus allowing their power bills to be reduced. The incentives worked, perhaps faster than most envisioned, and now the solar companies and the electric utilities are jostling for position in the alternative energy market. Maeve Mason is with the State Energy Office.
I don't know the right euphemism, but it's kind of its own worst enemy because it did so well. I mean, I think it was meant to be a pilot program. It was meant to kind of ease into the world of renewables, especially solar, and it's done really well.
It's done so well that over the past 4 years, the Energy Office reports 10,000 homes and dozens of commercial operations have taken advantage of the program. Solar providers in the state claim they've created thousands of jobs, salespeople, and installers. The current law, however, puts caps on how many solar customers can take advantage of the incentivized rates in net metering, 2% of each utility's retail business. Solar providers fear that when the 2% caps are reached, the move to solar will lose steam. Tyson Grinstead is with Sunrun, one of the country's largest solar providers.
Fast forward to now, there's now 3,000 solar jobs in the state that are at risk because of these solar caps. In the upstate, soon, it's likely that jobs will be leaving that area of the state. I don't know whether they're going to go to other parts of the state or to other competitors of ours, namely North Carolina and Florida, who are enacting positive solar policies that are designed to generate job growth there.
The solar providers backed a bill in the legislature this year that would have removed the 2% cap. The utilities pushed back, and pushed back hard, managing to see the bill killed in the final days of this year's session. This month, Duke Energy Carolina's customers in the populous upstate hit the 2% cap. Solar customers can continue to participate in net metering, but at the regular retail electricity rate. Duke's Ryan Mosier and others point out that the incentives in the current law were never meant to be permanent.
When that legislation was passed and signed by Nikki Haley in June of 2014, Duke Energy had about 100 solar customers statewide. 4 years later, we've got 6,000. That's a success story. And we want to continue that success. And we want to make sure that everybody who is interested in solar, the developers and everyone else, participate in that success story moving forward.
All parties agree the state's solar experiment has been successful. SCE&G is expected to hit its 2% cap next year, Duke Progress the year after that. And state regulators and legislators have instructed the parties to work out a new agreement on net metering. State Representative Russell Ott of Calhoun County.
Solar's here to stay. I believe it's inevitable. And I believe that the technology is only going to continue to get better. And that's going to make it more and more desirable for a lot of people. And we just need to have the foresight to be able to address that on the front end rather than trying to play catch-up, which is what we seem to do in South Carolina on a lot of other issues. I'd rather be proactive than reactive and try to have good policy and good plan in place to address what's coming.
Ott says he expects new solar legislation to be debated when the General Assembly reconvenes in January. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Russ McKinney.